Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, who didst command the light to shine out of the darkness, we thank thee that thou hast given the light of the knowledge of thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ, and that through faith we have been permitted to behold thy glory. And we thank thee for the salvation mission on which the Lord Christ has come, and for that mission on which he bids us to go. We pray that we may take the light unto the nations. And this day we pray especially for all who are participants with thee and with us in thy world mission. We remember before thee persons of our acquaintance and many whom we do not know, but all of whom are known unto thee, who serve thee, some in places of danger and of difficulty. And we thank thee for the spirit of dedication which causes thy servants to give their best in the lowliest place and to acknowledge their need of thee in every place. We acknowledge our need for thee this morning, Holy Father, and ask that in the fellowship of this worship service, we may catch a vision and that we may clarify our direction for the living of these days of our opportunity. We pray especially this day for the peace of the world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the peace of all the troubled peoples of the Middle East. And we ask especially for thy continued guidance of those who bring the skills of diplomacy to bear upon these troubled issues. We pray for our nation and ask that thou wilt help us to remember that though men may fail thee, that justice and righteousness will prevail. And we ask this day for the restraint of evil impulses in all of us, and especially for those in high places, and for the furtherance of righteousness in church and in state, that through these means thy kingdom may come and thy will be done on earth even as in heaven. Amen. This is the second missionary day of the current academic year, and we are particularly delighted today to have as our speaker Mrs. Letha Kasaza of Washington, D.C. Mrs. Kasaza is an active Baptist at every level of Baptist involvement. In her own church, which is the Tacoma Park Baptist Church in Washington, she serves as a deacon and as the director of the WMU. She is the past president of the Baptist Women of the District of Columbia Convention and the immediate past president of the District of Columbia Convention. She is a former director of the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, and she presently serves as the president of the North American Baptist Women's Union. This is a union of 14 Baptist groups in the United States and in Canada, and is a part of the Women's Department of the Baptist World Alliance, one of six continental units of the Women's Department of the Baptist World Alliance. Mrs. Kasaza is a native of Oklahoma. She has the BA degree from Baylor University and the MA degree from American University. She is a former college teacher. Many of us have heard her speak on other occasions, and we look forward to hearing her this morning. And it's my privilege to welcome her to this chapel and to present her to you. And following the anthem, Mrs. Letha Kazaza will give the Missionary Day address.
Our hearts could scarcely be better prepared to consider our mission than through the hymn we have sung this morning together and the anthem which this choir has led us to reconsider again our mission. Last summer, in the VWA Executive Committee meeting, Joe Underwood, who is the chairman of the Mission of Reconciliation Through Jesus Christ for the VWA, brought a very thrilling report of some of the activity which is going on around the world. Do you know, for instance, that there are 95 Baptist groups, conventions, associations, what have you, in 85 countries of the world who have committed themselves to participation in a worldwide mission of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Now, as thrilling and as exciting as some of the reports were from other portions of the world, there was a very stunning note in Dr. Underwood's presentation and in some of the information which we receive from other leaders in our country. Ken Chafin, who is the chairman for the United States, has also made us aware of the fact that Dr. Underwood brought out, and that was that all over the world today, Baptists are excited and are enthusiastic and seem to be working under the Spirit of God in this mission. That is, every place except in the United States. And so many of us left there feeling that it was necessary for us to do what we could in any small way to remind ourselves here upon every occasion that we have in a very real way made a terrific impact through the years with our mission programs overseas, but that the time has come for us to reevaluate what we're doing in the mission of reconciliation. In other words, to look at our responsibility as individuals, as members of a local church, as members of an association, as members of a state convention, however we work, we need to look at ourselves and to wonder if in fact we have become sated with what we take for granted about the blessings of God upon Southern Baptists, upon American Baptists. You realize that they've come out with a new figure for the membership of the Baptist World Alliance, which indicates that there are over 31 million Baptists that are members of the Baptist World Alliance. Do you also realize that 27 million of them are on this continent? Now, if you look at those figures, you would immediately suppose that in any worldwide mission, American Baptists, those of the Southern Convention, the American Convention, the any number of other Baptist groups on our continent, that they would be at the forefront in proclaiming the gospel, in serving those with whom they come in contact, for this is what the mission of reconciliation is all about. It's evangelism, but it's evangelism with a great difference. It is not simply the proclamation of the gospel. It is exactly what was referred to in the anthem that we heard as the ministry of service. Therefore, when we think about the mission of reconciliation together this morning for a few moments, I want us to examine two particular portions of Scripture and to see what we can learn, perhaps. First, of course, there is the portion of Scripture which is the text used for the VWA's project of the mission of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:19. I'm going to read it to you in the Living translation. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We've been involved in a mission program in the Southern Baptist Convention for, these many years, and at the present time, we can be pleased that we've got the most money given to foreign missions and the most missionaries on the field and the most countries involved with our mission program. But we need to examine ourselves and our mission program. Paul was very concerned about sharing his faith And we know him as a man who was on fire with telling others about what God had done for him and was doing through him. So I think it's significant for us to listen to a few words of Paul from the opening verses of his letter to the Christians in Rome. One of the things I keep on praying for is the opportunity to come at last to see you, for I long to visit with you so that I can impart to you the faith that will help your church grow in the Lord. Then, too, I need your help, for I want not only to share my faith with you, but to be encouraged by yours. Each of us will be a blessing to the other. In a little book that Dr. Wentz has written called Set Free for Others, he is concerned with our mission of reconciliation. And one of the points which struck me in his little book was his statement where he said, perhaps our first contribution to reconciliation will be a change in ourselves. Have you ever stopped to think that there are others who have had an experience with Jesus Christ, a different kind of an experience, and they labor in different kinds of fields? They aren't members of a majority denomination like you and I are. They're members of a minority group in a society which is not touched by Christian culture. They labor in places and under conditions which you and I would probably fold under. And could it be that one of the ways we need to learn to reconcile others to Jesus Christ is to learn how to reconcile ourselves with those who are different from ourselves? This is a real problem on our foreign mission fields. In our Commission on Missions and Evangelism, a paper was read by Dr. J.T.I. Urendi, one of the statesmen of Baptist leaders in Africa. Dr. Urendi has been the director of the work in the Southern Baptist Nigerian mission field for years and has had a happy working relationship with our mission personnel there. His paper was a beautiful example of a man who was trying to be kind and loving and to demonstrate the spirit of Christ himself. When Dr. Urendi said, it is time perhaps for the missionary to take to heart that scripture which admonishes one to grow less and allow another to grow larger. This was a lovely way for Dr. Urendi to introduce to this study group his idea that the time has come on the mission field for the white missionary to recognize not that his day is over or even limited, but that it's different. That the time has come when we must learn from those to whom we go to minister. That we must listen to what the leaders in our mission fields are saying to us about what is required of a Christian, not just in preaching the gospel, but in living it. It's time for us to listen to Dr. Urendi and to others who in all Christian love say, you must re-examine yourselves. You must re-examine your mission programs. You must re-examine the spirit in which you have sent out help for so long. Now, in his paper, Dr. Urendi was very quick to point out that never could the national Christian have been in a place of leadership if it had not been for the 100 years of work on the part of the missionaries that had been sent there by our Foreign Mission Board and by others. You and I need to learn, of course, that there are others than Southern Baptists who've been sending missionaries for a while. We need to know that there are others who have committed far more of their number and of their money to foreign missions than Southern Baptists have, despite the fact that we spend the most. We need to learn from Dr. Iorendi and from other fine Christians on our mission fields something about the commitment which they have made to the ongoing of Christ's mission. And perhaps we could learn something from them. Perhaps we could learn something of the self-sacrifice which we heard of Dr. Ron Goulding, who is the European Secretary for the BWA. In nearly every one of our meetings, he touches our hearts with information about the Baptists in the eastern part of Europe, behind the Iron Curtain Baptists, and how hard they work. How their spirits would soar to come into a sanctuary like this one. How they ache for a place to come together where they can sing a hymn and read the scripture together and hear an exposition of the scripture and then go forth enlivened in the gospel. And yet, because they have to work so hard for their church buildings, perhaps they could teach you and me a great bit about how to use what we have. I remember one of his stories about a family. The woman worked in the daytime and the husband worked at night. And because the lay people of this congregation were themselves laying the bricks and putting in the wiring and doing the plastering and all of the carpentry work, the man went straight from his night job to working on the church so that he got home after his wife had already left for work. She was bitter about the fact that the church was coming between her and her husband and that it was upsetting their family life. And she was getting to the point of where she wondered if it was worth it. And then, of course, she would gather with the women who went after their daily work and did what the women could do in the building. And then because of a tiny little bit of money which the BWA Relief Committee was able to give to them to help with the buying of the materials, they finally got their church building built. And then this woman wrote the most touching letter to the Baptists in England because they had sent some money too. The most touching letter about what it meant to them to finally have a church building in which they could worship. Oh, if you and I could learn something of the sacrifice that some of our fellow believers make in order to follow Jesus Christ, in order to build a building in which the gospel can be preached and in which they can gather to teach. Oh, if we could begin to appreciate what we have and to know a better way to use it. And then I think of some of the Baptists that I've been privileged to meet from Brazil. They're the most exciting, fiery Baptists I've ever had any knowledge of. David Gomez has a little church right, I understand, I've never been in Rio, but he has a church right in the middle of town, and they were able to acquire it by a miracle to get some property, which was very expensive property, and they were able to get it and to hang on to it. He has a very exciting ministry in his church. And he does all kinds of things which you and I might think were gimmicks in order to interest people and bring them into that little church of his. Not too long ago, they had a sing-in in which they sang right through the Baptist hymnal. And they started singing, and whoever came into the sanctuary entered into the song, and they sang day and night till they had sung every hymn in the hymnal. Then another time, they read straight through the Bible. And they started, and whoever would walk into the sanctuary during day or night would take up the reading, and people would wonder what in the world was the matter with these funny Baptists that kept their building lighted all night, and people were coming back and forth all day, and they went in, and there they were reading the Bible. And David will get up and talk about the excitement of his radio ministry, where he's able to preach the gospel and where they are limited in many ways, but where they're able to do so many exciting things. And he's on fire with the idea that Brazil can be won for Jesus Christ. But the preaching of the gospel is only the beginning of our work of reconciliation, because evangelism is only the first step. Often it is not even the first step in it.